Welcome back to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. It is a pleasure to have you here, and it is a pleasure to welcome back Kyle Cherik for another conversation about wonderful food in Milwaukee. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
And, you know, the last time we talked, we were talking about this amazing explosion of fine dining experiences here in Milwaukee, greater per capita than even in New York. But it wasn't always that way, was it?
No. I mean, Milwaukee is an anomaly because during the recession, we just kept opening up all these great places as compared to the rest of the country and outpacing the rest of the country.
And they're staying open.
And they're staying open, right. So it started me thinking about where did we come from, essentially. And, you know, going back to the 70s and in even 60s, I mean, we had this handful of better restaurants that were basically all doing a Escoffier-style cuisine, the Steak Diane, the Crepe Suzette, and the Caesar salad made tableside and that kind of thing. But Grenadiers, amazing. Canute retired in 2004. The English Room at the Pfister. And Fleur de Lis, of course, where Bacchus is now in the Cudahy Towers. And then Frenchie's, which was, I mean, that was just wacky Escoffier where he had zebra and elk and all kinds of things. And then the German restaurants, you know, the Karl Rausch's and the Maeters, of course. But that was really the sum of what we were giving to the dining scene and what could be had.
In terms of fine dining.
In terms of fine dining,
yeah.
Or I would make the argument, and there were some others, and I can't, you know, I don't want to soak up all the time, but really engaging, inventive, terrific dining. The rest was pretty much stock and trade, and people had to eat. That's great. But we weren't, when you think about Milwaukee compared to the national scene, we sort of did it with a few bright lights, but nothing so amazing. And then our German cuisine trumped everybody's, except the Germans.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did the change happen? Obviously, we're in a very different place now in 2013 than we were then.
Right. Right. Well, my mind got open because I was honored by being asked to do this sort of actor studio conversation at the upcoming Wine and Dine event with Chef Sanford D'Amato. So we're going to sit down for an hour, and he's just published a memoir with recipes called Good Stock. It goes through his life and growing up in Milwaukee and then going out to the East Coast to culinary school and then being the first American chef to break into the French kitchens in New York. A lot of people don't realize that all those great kitchens in the 70s, it was all these French guys coming over that get paid more money, cook in New York, but everybody in the kitchen and the waitstaff was French. So he actually broke through. It was pretty amazing. But he came back to Milwaukee in 1980 and opened John Byron's, which some people may remember. And I would consider that part of that fleet of that six or seven fine dining, all in French style. And it was half a floor and it was fancy. But really in 89, when he opened up Sanford, that was the sort of the crack of the first bright light that changed the dining scene here in Milwaukee. And then in 93, you have Joan Paul Bartolotta with Restaurante. And in 95, they do Lake Park Bistro. And things really start to bubble. And then about 2001, when The Social opened with Chef Kevin Sloan and Chris Satali, and they had both worked in Bartolotta and for Sandy. And they were, you know, they were queuing off of like this comfort casual food, but with these better cooking etiquettes with a Escoffier-esque flex to the dishes. And, you know, La Miranda, that opens up in 2007 and Crazy Water before that in Walker's Point. And other things start to bubble across the scene across the mid-2000s to getting where we are now. We're in the last 4 years of the recession. We've outpaced other cities with amazing restaurants opening up, and we've got James Beard semifinalists and nominees and blah, blah, blah. You know, Sandy was so rare because by 93, he and Angie had put a restaurant on the map in Milwaukee that was considered one of the 10 best dining institutions in the country. I mean, when you think of it, it's crazy. It's crazy. And he won the James Beard, and he was one of 12 chefs that Julia Child handpicked to cook for him, on and on and on. When I talk to chefs about what did Sanford mean to you, the current chefs, the young men and women that are cooking now, in essence, the answer was everything. He or they were the linchpin that made us believe, and I think Joe and Paul Bartolotta could get thrown into this too for a lot of them, that made us believe or gave us a chance to imagine a different type of dining scene in Milwaukee.
Well, and not only a dining scene here, but one that is recognized nationally and even internationally, which may not have been the case before.
Correct. Correct.
So as you've talked to Chef D'Amato, was there any sense of pushback at the time? Were people basically embracing this new way of thinking about food, or was it kind of an uphill slog for him?
I think it was scary temerity would be the term. He had already had a great following of John Byron for 9 years, and that's where he met Angie, and that's where they formed themselves as a couple. And so it was interesting, and he talks about this in the book, going around to get loans for it because they only saw him as a chef, and it was a banker that finally saw he and Angie as a duo, and that's where they got the funding. But they were opening up in a neighborhood that wasn't known as a location for dining. They were doing a lot of things differently. But it's one of those, and many entrepreneurs have had this. They had to do it. They had to know. But, it was a huge risk. And it came together. You know, everyone looks back at their career and says, wow, lucky, you know, lucky after 30 years of hard work. I mean, that's kind of how it came together. And it was, thank goodness, a type of cuisine that resonated on a national level so quickly that I think in some ways the foodie, we didn't have that term, intelligentsia of the nation, caught up to their cuisine a little before some Milwaukee diners did. Though they ate it and they loved it, they didn't quite appreciate it for what it was in a broader sense.
So it was at that point, though, that things, as you say, changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think we're going now?
Well, it was a slow change across 12 or 15 years. And things in trends of talent work generationally because you don't just come out of an apprenticeship and suddenly you're fully formed. And Sandy would say the same thing. He moved back from New York and he still had to learn some things. Milwaukee, I think, it's in its early 20s as far as if it were a person. So we know who we are. We're not scared about talking about our culinary scene anymore. We've got some chefs that are, you know, like in the vineyard business, when the vines are about 45, 50, they're really producing exactly where you want them to be. And we've got some chefs that are doing that, and some are just coming up, and some that are kind of going to be stepping down but handing it off to the next level of talent. We're just starting to experience molecular. We're just starting to push back against some of the corporate concepts that are out there, and people that always went to those are making different dining choices.
Talk about corporate concepts for just a second, because that's a term I'm not familiar with.
Well, if you've got, you know, you go to a lot of cities that are B-tier cities like us, as far as population and income and so forth, and their downtowns are filled with Applebee's and P.F. Chang's and that kind of thing. You know, instead we've got things that are owned here and run
locally
by chefs. Exactly.
Here,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's that identity that we are really clinging to because it's there for us. And in other cities of our scale and population, they're filled with, you know, the big guys that fly in from 30,000 feet and say, yeah, let's do another concept here. And everyone knows what they're getting. So we've grown through that adolescence we're kind of in our first real apartment. Right now,
we bought our first sofa.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're beyond that. We're kind of have a real car, not a jalopy anymore, and we're starting to move into some dining trends and claim our own identity as a city of both chefs and eaters. So I don't know where it's going to go. This enthusiasm across the last 4 or 5 years of places opening up and things like that is going to kind of have to implode a little bit, or this supernova will grow for another 10 or 12 years. And it really has everything to do with the dining public. It's our time to have great food. But we've got to go out and embrace it. And we are, but we've got to keep embracing it. And we've got to hand that check back to the chef that is risking, in a lot of cases, and I mean everything from Joe and Paul, how they're growing it, to the next step for Sanford, which is Justin and Sarah, who bought the restaurant, and he's cooked with Sandy and by his side, and Sarah's managed for years. Or, you know, someone like Justin Carlisle that basically quit his safe job to open up his own place. We've got to go to these places, and we've got to embrace them.
I know we've talked about that before. Are you seeing evidence that people are doing that, or is it, you know, are we afraid that it's going to be sort of a flyby, you know, oh, this is the new exciting thing for 6 months and
yeah,
then I'm going to go find something else?
It's a great question. I may be too close to it, but I think that the Queen Mary is swinging close to 180 degrees. I'm not convinced yet that it's going to be graceful or that it's not going to list and be half filled with water. I really hope it's going to be graceful and kind of dramatic for everybody. And at the end of the day, we'll say, wasn't that a great time in our city? I feel in my heart that's where we're headed, but it's not up to me. I can only tell these stories as best I can, but the people who didn't normally try these cuisines or didn't normally go on a Wednesday night have to keep coming.
Well, Kyle Cherik, I hope you'll keep coming back and talking with us.
It's my delight to be here.
Lovely. See you next time.
Thanks.
Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherik is the host and producer of the public television show Wisconsin Foodie. He also writes a regular column for Milwaukee Magazine's website. And as Kyle mentioned, he'll be talking with Milwaukee chef Sanford D'Amato Saturday afternoon at the Wine and Dine event at the Wisconsin Center. We'll also talk with Chef D'Amato about his new book and career next when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.